Passion Play by Jethro Tull.
You have no idea how close you are, actually. This is an appalling album.
Oh.
You know what it is yet?
Yngwie.
It is Yngwie.
Is it Yngwie? Wow, you knew that? I wouldn't know. I've never heard a whole Yngwie song from beginning to end ever. Well, yes, I have. I worked for the guy that one night. I almost punched him.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
Remember that spotlight
Mark
story?
Mark has the same feeling.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. God, that guy.
Well, this is Rising Force, his debut album as a solo artist, 1984. I said, you said Jethro Tull. Barrymore Barlow is the drummer on this album.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that he did play with him.
Jeff Scott Soto sings and...
Oh. They can't save it. They can't save it. I mean, it's good. It's actually good right now. He's just such a douche.
Yeah. It's just a wank fest, really. Yngwie is no Uli John Roth. I'd rather hear it in small doses with Uli on, like, Taken by Force or Tokyo Tapes by the Scorpions.
Sure. That's what I've heard. I mean, I'm not a guitar. I'm not a shreddy. I don't like the guitar shredding things. I just like a dude like Ace Frehley who fucking rocks.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, me too.
And, like that. That's good. But
it's okay.
Don't do it again for another couple.
Nope. He got even faster.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's a lesson in self-indulgence.
Yes.
It really is. It actually is.
All right. Well, let's just get cracking. I can't take this anymore. I don't know why. I found this in the dollar bin a couple years ago, and I'm like, I'll throw it in there.
It's
release the Kraken.
Release Yngwie Malmsteen.
Ooh, a little hungry one. Open up a package of my bologna. Ooh, I think the toast is done. The toast is done. Topping with a little of my bologna.
Hi, this is John Bermuda Schwartz from the Weird Al Yankovic Band, and you're listening to the Shabby Road Record Show.
My, yeah.
On your computer or something.
Well, hey, Lava!
Hey, Lava!
The Shabby Road Record Show is on the air, your hipster-free vinyl podcast, and I'm your host, Ryan McKay. And now, are you a country road? Because he wants to take you home. A.D. Adams! Thank you.
Take me home tonight, Adams! Oh, wow.
My 10-year-old son told me that joke.
That's a good one. Well, here we are. Here we are once again in not-so-beautiful Sunny Slope. Ironically, the shadiest part of Phoenix. It used to be known as Hurlsville, USA. Have we got a show lined up for you tonight? No, we don't. But let's just get hammered and do this in spite of ourselves. Liz is hungover, Ryan is shirtless, yeah. And me? You didn't even want to know. But who cares? We got records.
All right. Yes, we do have records. Yeah. I can't wait to get these going. I got a really good mystery box.
I do too.
I'm sure you do, too. Yeah. And this is episode 211.
I got aspirin.
Yeah. Liz has aspirin and a shot of Fireball.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for stopping in and listening to the show. We really appreciate it. Just want to give a quick little thank you to all of you listeners out there. This week, AD, Liz, marks the we have done this show for 5 years.
Wow.
This week.
Yeah, that's
we
right.
Dropped our first episode first week of April in 2014.
Wow.
Right? So
happy anniversary. Happy
5
anniversary.
Years and happy we got to give us love to all the listeners who
absolutely
continue to check it out and share with friends. And a lot of you people listening right now, the sound of my voice have been with us from very beginning.
Yeah.
Some people have jumped in a few years in but have gone back and listened to every episode. So cheers to you guys.
Yeah,
thank
we really
you.
Cheers to that.
Woo-hoo.
Take us out to dinner.
Five.
We should take them out to dinner.
All right. I can't afford that.
Yeah. No, we appreciate that. That means a lot to us, man. He's just like, hey, you want to come over and listen to some records?
Yeah.
And as long as you go, yeah. You know, but then you say, hey, want to come over and listen to some records? Like, no, I don't think so.
That sounds boring.
Yeah, man. Like, but you guys, you hung with us. So
yeah.
Thanks for coming over and listening to some records.
Sweet. Yeah. Let's also say hi to our friend, Liz Damian Brooks, the notorious LDB.
Hello.
How are you?
Hung
Oh, yes.
Now, I wanted, I was dying to ask you when I walked in the room, but I figured, you know, let's just wait for the show. Last night, Liz went to go see Vince Neil.
Yes. Pizza and Scottsdale. Sing a few songs, right? Yes.
Well, okay, I have some questions.
Okay. Wait, look.
You got a backstage pass. Look at you.
Would you have to did you do anything for that pass? No, or just like...
No. Barely saw Vince.
Did you meet the man himself?
No.
Vince
Neil? He was not...
Having it?
No.
Not having it?
No.
Carl Palmer and him should get a band together.
He had
Carl Problem.
He had the whole area where the dressing room is behind the stage, next to the stage. It was all tinted off and tarps were up.
Yeah. It's normally a wide open area.
Yeah, it's normally
for those
wide
who don't
open.
Know
so if you're standing there in the VIP section, you can see the dressing room and Mark. Where he does the monitors.
That's your husband?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can see the artists. They stand right there.
On the side of the stage waiting to go on stage.
Well, that's how we met Heap.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't having any of that. And they got him a private dressing room.
Well, it was actually a food truck. It was a taco truck, to be honest with you. But they got leaving.
They got him a mobile dressing room.
I'm going to sing a song from here.
It's sliders.
So how was it? How was the show?
It was a great show.
It was good.
As much as I hate saying that.
How was Vince Neil?
He was actually good. It wasn't mumbling at all.
Maybe it was recorded. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Right, yeah.
Pre-recorded.
No.
He did that on the Motley Crue tour, I'm told.
No, not with my husband. It wasn't.
Oh, Mark put his foot down.
Good for him. Really?
Get out there and sing.
You sing, motherfucker.
Tubbo.
You're in my room now. You sing.
And Zoltan was excellent.
That's the drummer.
He's a maniac.
Yes, I love Zoltan.
He's incredible to watch.
That's the only reason I really wanted to go was to see Zoltan. I love Zoltan.
So. Now, was he in his own food truck as well? Or
they had their own. They had two or three private mobile dressing rooms.
Wow.
Normally, though, Zoltan's not. Zoltan and Dana and...
Now you're talking about Dana Strum.
Dana Strum is playing bass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Basically, it's Vince Neil and Slaughter.
Oh, okay.
Marvelous. Slaughter.
How was the crowd? How was the turnout?
It
good?
Was huge. It was about 1,100 people.
About hot chicks?
Well, of course. It was freaking Vince Neil, and they're still living their heyday Motley Crue.
I did see the dirt. I saw the movie. You
know. I saw his shirt.
It
was a lot of food stains on it.
Thigh-high leather, red boots, and, you know.
Vince Neil?
No, the girl.
No, God, no. All right. Well, thanks for the update there, Liz. And capturing it all is over there is Sal 5000. How are you, Sally?
I'm a fireball.
Dang. You drunk.
Yeah.
Drunken.
I got trashed, yeah.
So, you how many were you drinking Fireball last night?
I bought one drink. Okay, that's all I bought.
How
I bought
many
one.
Drinks? Did you drink?
Oh my God! It was like every time I turned around, somebody was like, "Here, do the shot with me."
All
my
right.
wife doesn't want to do it. I'm like, okay.
Oh boy!
Now you're talking.
So I was
right?
doing Crown Royal.
Oh, gross.
I did a couple Fireballs.
Oh, you're mixing them up. Looking for trouble. You know better than that.
Yes, I do know
you're
better
you're
than
a professional.
So do I, but I do it anyway, too. Good for you.
Professional.
I figured whiskey, okay.
So you pulled a damn near all-nighter.
Yeah, well, I was at the club until 3:30.
Take that, you little...
Well, there was a lot of McDonald's wrappers and Taco Bell wrappers to clean up out of Vince's trailer.
Yeah, man, he like got off the stage and left.
Fuck this down.
Yeah. The barbecue spit must have been a bitch to clean up.
I think he was starting to get last call at the McDonald's or something.
Hurry up. The Filiberto. There's a place called Filiberto's open all night. There's 100 of them. Let's stop at all of them.
All right. Well,
actually, it was a good show, Ryan. It was.
That's what I've heard that from a number of people.
Yeah.
So. Another good place is alltheworldsastage.net. AD Adams, we got to give them guys a little love.
Alltheworldsastage.net, that's what I'm talking about over here. Like we told you last week, the Shabby Road Records show got us a brand new sponsor, alltheworldsastage.net. And surprisingly enough, as of this week, Ryan, they're still our sponsor. Go
2 weeks in a row.
Hey, so what do those good folks of questionable judgment over there at alltheworldsastage.net do, you ask? Well, they do merch and promotional materials of every imaginable description for your band or for your business. Yep. They got great deals on the usual stuff like hats and t-shirts and custom bondage collars, but they also have great deals on some more unusual items as well. So go ye on over, all you overgoers, to alltheworldsastage.net for all your promo items, whether it be for your band or for your business. And remember this, won't you? There's never a screen charge on orders of 24 items or more, and there's never a PMS charge or a flash charge either, whatever the fuck they are. So yay, our new sponsors are still here. Yay, yay. alltheworldsastage.net.
As always, you'll say
alltheworldsastage.net.
10%.
That's
alltheworldsastage.net. 10% gets whacked off of your order when you put it together. Awesome people over there. A division of nameonanything.com, of course.
I should have gone to them and gotten a Hanoi Rocks t-shirt.
Yeah, you guys were funny in that in our text group text thread. You're like, can you wear a Hanoi Rocks t-shirt to the Vince Neil
show? I was going to.
You're so cruel.
I know.
You guys are awful.
So that's a sister company to...
Yes.
I thought it's weird. It's creepy because I thought they were dating.
Oh, they are dating. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. We fooled around long enough. We've got some records to get to here. So Liz has the two playing cards. She is going to get those rolling over there, and AD's going to pick left or right to see who's going to go first. And while she's getting all that set up, our old buddy Glenn Bennett, you know Glenn, over there,
Glenn.
In Hull.
I believe it's O.
He picked us up some beer. Him and Gaynor.
He probably took the money out of her purse.
Don't tell Gaynor.
Oops. It's a secret.
Yeah, he picked us up some beer for tonight, so thank you, Glenn, over there in merry old England.
Thank you, brother.
Stop by the website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com, where there's a big frosty mug of beer there, and you can click on that link that says, fill the fridge!
Woo! With some proper beer, and appropriately enough,
what do you got?
I've got a Guinness.
Ooh, Guinness.
Yeah, ice cold Guinness.
I'm staying sober tonight, unfortunately.
You're
everybody.
Sure. Our friends.
I got to do my wellness check thing for insurance company, health insurance. It's so stupid.
There, dude, go in there a wreck.
Well, I don't want to do that because we actually get cheaper if my blood pressure is lower and I'm not pre-diabetic and all that crap.
Oh, I go in there with a whiskey and a cigar.
Hungover. It's probably like, you have diabetes, your blood pressure's through the fucking roof.
We're
admitting
dead.
You to the ER.
We're putting you in rehab.
Yeah. And
you, sir, cannot be insured.
Meanwhile, my health insurance is doubled. So yeah, I'll be staying sober. I will be the designated driver tonight.
All right.
That's me.
Liz is sober too. 80's the only one.
Oh, well, I'll see you guys in the after.
Adrigal. Yeah.
Life. See you on the other side.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Pick left or right there.
Oh, AD. Let's do. Give me the left hand there. See what we got.
I want to go first.
Red,
that's me.
Fuck that.
All right. Well, I got a sort of a. It was a last minute theme that formed in my mystery box. The theme of my mystery box is good, and it's a fun box, too. Tonight's mystery box title is Before and After. Now, what that refers to is this. On one of my selections, one of the band members, like from the first selection, and a band member from my second selection, both played in the same legendary band together.
Mm.
But I brought not that band. I brought the band that one guy was in before and one guy was in afterwards, right?
All right. I'm almost following you.
So, right? it'll come together. So, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you and I played in Crash Street Kids together, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So, that would be like me playing a song of yours from, a band that you played in beforehand,
mm-hmm.
right? Stoner McKay.
Uh-huh.
And then me playing a song of mine that I played with, like, Paul Gervitz. It came after our.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Wow.
Right?
Gotcha.
That hurt didn't need to be that difficult.
No.
So anyway, that's what I got. And let's start it off right away here. The selection is a band. Or should I say supergroup?
Oh, don't you start bandying about that term again.
I'll just call them a band for now.
Okay.
We'll ease into this. Formed out of the Crumbling Bits. I've got Crumbling Bits. Getting
yes,
a little old.
Yeah.
Came out of the Crumbling Bits of a few beloved British metal bands, all of whom are Shabby favorites. So
wow.
This band is the scraps of three powerhouse bands that we love in
okay.
this place, all right?
All right.
Three of the founding members of this group had quit their former bands or had been fired, either because they had thought that their older band had either sold out musically or were just too dysfunctionally fucked up, or both. So it is a self-titled debut album by this group. Or should I now say supergroup? Am I getting you here?
Well, you got to start rattling off some names.
Well, why don't I do that, right? And I'll, this will be the debut spin of our this supergroup on our Sergeant Slaughter of a show. Who are these disgruntled super meddlers, Ryan, who had hit rock bottom but still did the four-day creep with an ace of spades up their sleeves? I'm talking about the drunken but lovable Pete Way of UFO, the drunken but not nearly as lovable Fast Eddie Clark of Motorhead, and the drunken and will kill you for entertainment Jerry Shirley of Humble Pie. I brought Fastway, Ryan.
Fastway.
That's
all right, supergroup. Supergroup.
Supergroup.
Okay, supergroup.
Come on, look at that.
Plus, singer dude is now the singer of Dropkick Murphys now or something, right?
I think Flogging Molly.
Flogging Molly,
right,
sorry.
Right. So... yes, so super motherfucking
Dave
group.
King?
David King. Dave King, absolutely. Now...
Here's the thing about, like, this album. This is the debut album?
It's the first one.
It's self-titled, right?
Self-titled. A Fastway album by Fastway. Came out in 1983 on my favorite weed growers, Columbia. Produced by Eddie Kramer. And written by Fastway, but not Pete Way, because, anyway, there's a weird story behind this record.
Yeah,
right?
Why is Pete Way not pictured on the cover?
Pete Way is not pictured on the cover. He is not mentioned anywhere, not a drop of, like me and that U.S. Bombs album, not a fucking drop of ink.
I have rescinded my supergroup status announcement.
No, this is, it's, first of all, it's a great record.
No, it's not, actually.
You don't like it?
I think it falls a little short for me.
I like it.
I love a few of the songs on it, but some of the filler tracks are just not good. That's what I remember. I may need to revisit it.
I would revisit it. I think it grew on me. It held up a little bit better than I think most of the stuff that time did.
I probably haven't heard it for 10 years.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the groove, I mean, if you take the individual parts, like you listen to what you know, Jerry Shirley's doing on the kit. I mean, it's Jerry fucking Shirley.
Yeah, Humble Pie.
If you're in dismay over, you know, some guitar solo that's being thrown down, just block it out. Listen to the drums for a minute.
Okay.
It's Jerry Shirley. So, okay. Here's what happened. So, there's some weirdness regarding this album and who actually recorded on the bass tracks, because again, no Pete Way. Fastway, Fast Eddie Clark, Pete Way, it's their band. They formed it with Jerry Shirley. And half the Way is gone.
The whole Way
is
gone.
The Fast guy is gone, or the Way guy is gone.
The Way guy's gone.
So in 1982, Pete Way had quit UFO. Fast Eddie Clark had quit Motorhead. And it was also the year that Steve Marriott had formed the doomed new version of Humble Pie that did not include Jerry Shirley. Remember, he went back and tried to redo all that. And I think he even got with, what was it, Ian McLaughlin or one of the guys from The Faces. And they went into, like, what was it? It's like one of the big, like, I want to say, like, Clive Davis's office, or one of the big fucking, like, Geffen's office, or one of the big, and went, "You fucking, we've got demo, we're not even let you hear it." Yeah. You know, like,
I do remember.
It was all fucked up.
You were telling me that story on that, I think the last time you brought Humble Pie, one of those later, like, On to Victory or whatever that album is.
Yeah, it was. And so it was a great, great story. So Jerry Shearer's like, "I'm out of here."
You this know, is fucking,
this is ridiculous. So three of the superstars, those three superstars, formed a group and named it Fast Way, after Fast Eddie Clark, Pete Way. There was one problem, though. Pete Way was still under contract with Chrysalis Records, his label with UFO. Even though he'd quit UFO, he's like, "Fuck you, blokes, fuck you, fuck you." And "Hey, fuck you too, but let's have a beer, you're all right, but fuck you." You know, and he just kind of left, and Chrysalis goes, "Yeah, you leave them, but you can't leave us. You got a contract. Your name's on the fucking thing, too, in whole or in part," as most contracts read.
Oh, boy.
So he was forbidden to record or release or publish any new material with anyone else or any other label.
For what's the duration of the...
Well, until he could either buy his way out of it or fulfill his UFO contract.
Ugh.
But he was, like, you know, having none of that. So, because he was hating, you know, UFOs like this fucking bullshit.
Well, they were a wreck.
And he was just like, they're selling out. They're just real. Now just they're just putting out shit. And that was his things like, I think they were aiming for the U.S. charts, and he wasn't having it. He's like, we're not rocking anymore. So,
and that's after Mechanics and
I think that was right in that era. Yeah. So, and he's right. You know, they lost their edge. So the songs were written. So him and Eddie and Jerry sat down and wrote the songs. Matter of fact, their big hit, Say What You Will.
Great song.
Jerry Shirley wrote that. It was a Jerry Shirley tune.
He wrote the riff?
He wrote the song.
That riff is awesome.
So the songs were written. The studio time was booked. You know, everything was ready to go. But Pete's little problem forced him to leave the band. So he's like, well, fuck.
So it was amicable. It ain't like he's like, fuck you.
No, he couldn't do it. So he had to get another gig that didn't require. He had to pay his rent. You know, he had bills to pay. So he had to find a gig that he wouldn't require taking royalties. Because, so he just jumped on the Ozzy's Diary of a Madman tour. Made his money on that.
Really?
Yeah. So he made his money until the contract expired, and then it was just like, you know, they were like...
That's after Bob Daisley told Ozzy, fuck you!
Yeah, right. And so it's pretty...
Rudy Sarzo wasn't in the band yet.
And then so when that whole thing came out, you know, done, then he just was like, well, you guys Fastway's already doing, I'm not fucking jumping at it. And that's when he formed Wasted.
Wasted.
Yeah.
Good record.
That's cool record.
First record. Yeah, that's the only one I've heard so far.
I got that one.
Yeah.
So that was his dilemma. So he started this band. He's from Free at Last. I'm Free. Oh, fuck, I'm not. You know? So it's pretty trippy. So, you know, when you look at the album cover, and you again, there's no mention anywhere.
This Fastway album cover?
Yeah. They look inside where the lyrics are, who wrote them, nothing. All it says is written by Fastway. Oh. That's literally all it says on that.
Iconic cover. I mean, everyone knows this cover.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a pretty popular album.
Artwork is great. Yeah, they did pretty well in here. It went to respectable number 31 on U.S. charts, on the Billboard charts. But that Say What You Will, as a single, hit number 14 in the U.S., which is pretty good.
Yeah, that was a big hit.
Yeah. So... anyway, he's just like, he's a man without a country. So this guy, singer Dave King, Fast Eddie Clark and Jerry Shirley kept the core lineup intact for one more record called All Fired Up, which came out in 84.
Mm-hmm.
And they used another studio bass player. So there's no accounting for even who played bass on this. So whoever the studio cat was didn't get ink either. See, that was the bizarre thing about it. It's like, okay, I get it. You know, Pete Way, because of the contract, can't do it.
Yeah.
So, okay, we get a guy to come in, and Pete's probably going, not on my band, you don't. Right? Only the bass player.
Well, maybe it's Fast. It could be Fast Eddie Clark on bass, or it could be even Jerry Shirley on bass.
There's no bass credits. anywhere. So not even for a ringer, not even anybody in the band. It's just like, so... it's just like the bass player just doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty weird, man. So we don't know who played the bass on this, but yeah, it's the usual suspect. So again, they kept the band going. Fast Eddie kept the band going. He was he started it and finished it. He kept it going up until about 1990. They had a release called Bad Bad Girls, and they released six albums altogether.
As Fastway,
yeah.
No kidding.
Yep. Dave King bailed after the fourth album, 1986, and that's when he started getting his Dropkick Murphys thing together.
The Irish thing together.
Yeah. So where are they now, Ryan?
Well, we know where Dave King is. Where's Fast Eddie Clark?
Fast Eddie Clark, dead at the age of 67, a pneumonia in a London hospital. Pete Way, DNR?
He's alive.
He is not. Assumed room temperature. He is alive and well.
He is alive.
Absolutely.
The
DNR not dead at age 67, but he was asked to go out with the reformed UFO in 2009 on their tour,
uh-huh.
and was unable to perform because of health reasons.
Yeah, he's not well. Yeah. Yeah.
But he has released, he did release a autobiography called A Fast Ride Out of Here, Confessions of Rock's Most Dangerous Man.
Oh, my God, I must read that.
I told you the trashing and dressing. I'll show you that trash and dressing room. The one time so Monarch great. Opened up for them, that was fucked up, man. That guy could trash a dressing room. He's legendary for that. Wow. So, Jerry Shirley.
DNR. He's DNR, right? Jerry Shirley?
Not dead at the age of 67. Still playing drums with Jerry Shirley's Humble Pie.
Really?
Oh, I thought he had passed away.
Nope.
Okay, good.
Dave King. Well, he's not dead.
He's not dead. He's good.
Okay, so Humble Pie, UFO, Motorhead, and later Flogging Molly. I ask you again. Supergroup?
Well,
I say yes.
All right. I'll give it to you.
Right, Liz? Yes. Come on, work with me. Listen, no matter how you slice it, the band kicks major ass. I think I love this record. It's a must have. It's an iconic, like you said, 1980s album, but it's not too 80s. It's 83. Mm-hmm. So it's got just enough of the old school 70s metal roots, the groove and the balls, the groove of Jerry Shirley. Come on, it's undeniable. Pete Way's a badass fucking bass player, and the singer's great. I think he's a great,
but
great
singer. Pete Way, we don't know if it's Pete Way on the bass. He's great on it. He just talked about it when nobody knows.
It's Jocko.
Yeah, Jocko Pastorius on bass.
That's got to be. You know he went in there and recorded that. Just don't put my fucking name on it, you guys.
Yeah, maybe.
Come on. Now that's him on that Say What You Will. You know it is. That's his stuff. So anyway, it's just, I think it's of its time, and maybe a little better than of its time. It doesn't reek of the 80s. It's not overly reverbed. So anyway, I'm going to play a song called Another Day. It's just a balls out rocker, man. It just starts out a little bit kind of slow and groovy, but it kicks ass. I think you're going to like the riff on this. The hook is big, and it's big fun. And again, not too much reverb on the snare, so I'm all in. Here's Fastway, the supergroup from their debut self-titled album. There's Another Day. God damn it. Okay, yeah.
You're all alone again, you say. You want your freedom. And now I fly to where the wind's calling me. The wind's calling me. Remember when we had the good times, the good times. Take me away to another. Take me away to another. Take me away to I'm
That rocked.
Right? Fast Way.
That was badass.
Supergroup.
Supergroup. Oh, and yay to the new turntable.
Yay. We got a new turn. Oh, well, we'll talk about that.
New turn. It needs a name.
Morgan Fisher has died. It took a shit, and I took it apart and fucked, put it back together and took it apart again and just couldn't resuscitate it.
I'm calling it Audi.
So.
Audi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a nice one. I paid some good money for it. And
Audio Technica.
Audio Technica.
One of their,
hence the name Audi.
$300 models there. It's lots of things that are intimidating.
Pretty light
on there. You got the strobe.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fancy. It looks like a disco all over there by itself. It looks
it's
like
all
a robot.
Slick and slick.
Yeah. It's
and
silvery and shiny.
So
and,
out of place.
Yeah. So Fastway, Supergroup, right? Fast Eddie Clark from, of course, the Motorheads.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Shirley, of course, on drums from the Humble Pies.
Yeah.
And David King, who went on to form the Flogging Mollies. And, of course,
Pete Way
from the UFOs.
Yeah, maybe.
It's got to be him.
Yeah.
But we don't know. It's a mystery there. But great, great record. A rock and roll record. First time spin for them, too, right?
Well, I have to revisit that. That was a really strong track. I don't remember the rest of those tracks being as strong as that.
So this was the after portion of my before and after mystery box title. So one of the members of this band.
Of Fastway
was in a group before Fastway with the guy who he played with who was in that same group, a different group before that group.
Oh,
does
that
make sense?
You know, not at all.
You're making my brain work.
Not at all.
Well, you'll get it.
All right. We have some serendipity here. You mentioned someone talking about your Fastway there, Steve Marriott.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Ian McLagan?
Ian McLagan. Yep.
I brought the Faces.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Check this baby out.
What the heck you got?
Is there ever a cheaper looking album cover than Long Player by the Faces? 1971 on Warner Brothers Records. This one is called A Record As Big, Messy, and Wonderful as Life Itself. And that's what AllMusic calls it.
Wow.
And this is their second album.
I don't think I've ever seen this one.
It's hard to find. There's not a lot of Faces records floating around out there.
Dang.
You see a nod is as good as a wink.
It's everywhere. There's a few of them on the road.
Sometimes Ooh La La, you might see that. But yeah, these early ones are hard. I've never seen the first album. But this is a really cool record. So this is when the Small Faces and Steve Marriott, the aforementioned Steve Marriott, had left and was replaced by Rod Stewart.
And he was too tall, so they couldn't be Small Faces anymore.
That's what they said, is like, you can't be the Small Faces. I think Ian was new to the group as well.
Well, way too tall.
And he was like 5'10", you know, and Rod Stewart's like 5'11", and they're like, you guys, we can't be the Small Faces.
They could have got like Dio. Or Klaus Meiner.
Yeah.
You know?
Klaus.
I don't understand.
Or Udo.
It's not like they were the tall faces. They were the small faces.
Well, they were all under like 5'6", I think.
In the original.
5'6", or below, yeah.
Yeah, in the original incarnation,
but
Steve Marriott, Bonnie Lane.
The short people, they were the small faces.
Oh, okay.
You know, small face.
Well, there was a slang, British slang, you're a face, right? That was like a mod.
Yeah.
Was that a mod term?
Yeah, it meant like you're small, the small people, small.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably the faces, all the faces are going to be there.
Yeah, there was something like that.
Okay.
So this is their
I hear you.
Second album. They did four altogether in their little run there in the 70s. Is there a boozier band in the world?
God, I don't.
They are just.
Silverhead, maybe.
They are so goddamn drunk.
Are they?
Throughout the whole album.
They really are. It's awesome, though. But they keep it together, Humble Pie. How do bands like that play so...
I don't know.
I think it creates that pocket. Again, you know, we've had that conversation about Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Clean them up and they suck.
Right.
Get them to rehab and it's like, fuck your career.
Yep.
Well, you pull Rod Stewart out from his drinking buddies and his records suck.
Who wants to hear that shit?
Footloose and Fancy
tonight,
Free. No,
tonight.
No. Go Ugh. Back there and booze it up with frickin' Ronnie
Come
Lane
on,
and Ronnie Wood.
Man.
Come on.
You know you want to.
Well, they did that live album, which you have
in
74. Speaking of the drinking, they were saying about that live album, Ian McLagan was saying that... you know, about that live album, You know what happened? We were in and around L.A., and one night we played the Palladium, after which we had a big party. Bobby Womack, Bob Dylan, and a bunch of people came. After the club closed, it was about 2:30, and we went back to the studio to carry on mixing that album, which is explains why it sucks.
It's really not a very good sounding record.
No, they were drunk when they mixed. They went to a party and then they mixed it.
What say we mix the record now?
It's fucking, is it half price studio time?
Let's send Vince Neil to get some booze and we'll finish this thing.
Oh, no. So I think I've pretty much mentioned everybody in the faces at this point, but Rod Stewart, Ronnie Wood, Ronnie Lane. And then Kenny Jones is the drummer who would go on to, I mean, this is a super group, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Kenny Jones is in The Who after Keith
Mooney's place.
Yeah, and Ian McLagan. By the way, the best name ever for a compilation album, speaking of the Faces 2001, it's like a greatest hits.
Yeah.
Five guys walk into a bar.
That's the name of their album. Yeah.
Compilation album. Yes.
See, that's the thing. They didn't take themselves seriously.
No,
they knew they were
great.
Just boozing and jamming with their buddies. And
that's exactly what makes these records so damn
it's
good.
Real. You can't. There's no. Oh, God. All the modern Cardi B. Listen up. What the fuck?
Oh, don't
you
take
know?
Yourselves too seriously.
All you people doing that stuff. P. Diddy, whatever.
Yeah.
GZE or whatever. I don't even know. Yeah. Listen.
GZE. GZE.
Jizzy D. But yeah, I mean, come on, man. You're right? I mean, this is just raw.
Oh, it sounds like it.
Bluesy.
I've got a really good example of
real
that.
Real swagger, man. This is real swagger.
I'm playing a song called Had Me a Real Good Time. And it's exactly what we're talking about. It's a great example of that booze-fueled, just throwing down with your buddies, and everybody's having a ball.
Yeah.
And the song is quite funny. He's talking about, I was on my bicycle, I'm riding down the street, and some skinny chick was like, hey, you want to come to this party? And it's, okay. So we go, and it's in this really high, rich, ritzy part of town with all these rich snobs and
so
all
what am
this.
I doing here?
So he comes in and he winds up dancing on the table and he's drinking all the gin and he's carrying on, and I believe he shags some chick in the bedroom. And he's like, and it's him basically saying, well, I'm so glad I came, I sure had me a real good time.
That's rock and roll.
And
what,
it's
right?
Rod Stewart just it does that so well, you know.
He was
no one was cooler than 71.
He was
a front man.
He was the man.
Yeah. Well, let's get the parties going here. Let's go ahead and drop the needle. I believe it's side two, track one there. So the new turntable is going to hear some Faces.
Right.
Sure had me a real good time. This is an album called Long Player, and from 1971. God, they're drunk.
Yeah.
There they go, off to the bar. The face is actually coming back from the bar. I don't know. The bar is actually in their road cases. I don't know. But, yeah, they...
The bar is wherever you are.
When the in the faces, yes.
You even got Mr. Flasky with you, which is, they probably did.
Ronnie Lane finally split, you know, after the fourth album, and obviously Rod Stewart's solo career was taken off, but they did do one last single, which for a time, I think it may still have this record of the longest song title to hit the charts in the UK. The song, You Can Make Me Dance, Sing, or Anything, Even Take the Dog for a Walk, Mend a Fuse, Fold Away the Ironing Board, and or Any Other Domestic Shortcomings. Really? By the Faces.
That's, wow, that's the entire lyric, I'm guessing.
Actually, it's kind of like proto-disco, like... Oh, it's 75, so
oh,
yeah.
We know what happened then.
Yeah, it's starting to get a little R&B flavor. I actually kind of liked it, to be honest. But
that's just the titles. Again, with their drunken booziness, they yeah. just come up with that.
You could,
so that in itself is kind of cheeky and cool.
I think you could find it on that compilation album, Five Guys Walk Into a Bar. It's great.
Dot, 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 right?
Oh, yeah. Ronnie Lane, rest in peace. Ian McClagan, I think, McClagan is also passed away.
I had a lot of deadness here yeah. tonight. Sorry. Wow. A
bunch of old bastards.
Right.
All right. What's your second selection there, Mr. AD?
All right. The next selection I have in my box this evening represents the before part of tonight's mystery box theme. Remember, before and after.
Hey, I'm still not following it, but
okay. We'll get this now.
We're both blind.
Although the band in this box originally formed in late 69... The band member did not join the band until 71. So, in other words, one of the band member, where there's a guy in my box still.
From Fastway.
Well, no, from this band that you don't know yet.
Okay.
Played in a band with the guy from Fastway, right?
Which guy?
But it's after this guy's band. But before,
see, the problem is people are listening, and you're holding up this record and that record, and you're saying this record. You're not being very clear at all.
The guy in my box, right?
Uh huh.
So he was in a band. That band, he stopped being in that band, and got in another band. A guy from Fastway, before he was in Fastway, was in that band.
Uh huh. Okay.
So,
in the second band. Okay.
So the guy in my box still was in that band before.
I think I got it now.
And then the guy in Fastway was in that same band
just
after.
Just take the record out. Just take it out.
It's simple. It didn't need to be this drawn out. So,
I'm not the one drawing it out.
All right, well, you need it explained, right? You didn't get it. You weren't getting it.
I don't think anybody was getting it.
Well, then it explained. That, right? That how that
Excuse
works?
Me while I whip this out.
Well, let me whip this out. Of course, the band I'm talking about before and after refers to Motorhead. So I have brought with me Hawkwind. See, Ian Fraser Kilmister, Lemmy, was in Hawkwind. He ended up in Motorhead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Edward Allen Clark was in Motorhead and ended up in Fastway.
Gotcha.
See, I'm holding up the Hawkwind album.
Yes.
My face is in between smiling.
Horrifying.
And my left hand, I've got the Fastway album.
Hey.
Hawkwind, me,
all right.
Fastway.
Oh, I get it. Right. Once you just put the people in order
right.
there or say their names
right.
for once.
So, well, I couldn't. I would have given away.
Where's the drama?
Yeah, right? So...
This is from theater.
So from 1976 to 1980 until 1982, they were both Fast Eddie Clark and Lemmy Kilmister were both members of Motorhead, and of course, certainly the classic Motorhead lineup. Right?
Of course.
But enough about Motorhead. I got Hawkwind, right?
Yeah. What's that album?
This is something, Ryan. I found this. Check this out. There's really the packaging. The packaging is not that great in it. I found this down at the Camelback Zia. And seeing as how these early Hawkwind albums are hard to find in the western desert region of the United States.
Yes.
I figured this was definitely an album I wanted to pick up. It's a compilation, Ryan, but it's definitely a compilation worth buying since that old stuff is hard to find. Now,
yeah.
What this is, this covers Hawkwind's great years from their first album, 1970, mm-hmm. all the way through 1974.
Okay.
So it's actually, I think, 71.
There's currently on tour in the United States.
Oh, my God, right? So I think that's 71. The name of this album is, it's by Hawkwind. It's called Best of United Artists Years, 1971 through 74. Correct, Ryan? 71.
Yeah.
So it's their first album came out in 1970, but they didn't include any songs on this. But this is their greatest hits of their...
Hits.
They're good fat years, right?
Yeah, right. The good
and,
stuff.
Right. Which, you know, was 74. They, you know, 75, you could include that. But Lemmy had split. So so it's really the Lemmy years in a way, except Lemmy came in on their third album, in between their second and third album. Dude, this band, Hawkwind, what a mess.
Oh.
These fucking
you
guys.
You think the faces are a mess.
Holy shit, dude. Holy Jesus.
At least they were just drinking
Oh,
beers,
my God, right? Yeah.
Tipping a few pints. The Hawkwind is like on acid.
Dude, yeah.
Sex, drugs, so, and rock and roll.
So there's only one release on this compilation that Lemmy doesn't play on, and that's one from their second album, which was an album called In Search of Space, came out in 72. But there is another song that was originally released on Hawkwind's second album that this other guy sang. It was a singer that they had, and it was just horrific. They were just the guy said it's something. They explained it like it was like sounded like William Shatner chasing aliens through outer space and blah blah blah. So they what it, on this album, it's included with a different singer. It's just it.
Oh,
so from a live. Show they did in 72, but Lemmy's playing bass on it, so so it counts as a Lemmy track. Now,
green vinyl,
yeah, it's gorgeous. Yes. Now that
awesome.
Was a record stage. It came out in.
It looks
this,
like it came out really recent.
Yeah, it's ORG Music is a label. It was
cool.
Released on Record Store Day, April 22nd, 2017.
Okay,
so it's great. I mean, it's great record. I mean, it just rocks balls, and you can hear Lemmy coming into his own. You know, he when he joined Hawkwind, so in early 72, after their second record came out in 71, in 72, things got weird. When they recorded their second record, dude, they were recording their second album over at George Martin's Air Studios, his private studio in London, right?
Did he know they were there? Did they just kind of like
dude,
squat?
They were tripping.
This all's now.
They had people, their friends running in and out of there. Shit was getting broken. They broke into fucking Sir George Martin's private liquor cabinet, drank it all, fucking. But the final straw was when they spiked the fucking all the like the staff engineers. They spiked all their coffees with acid.
Oh God!
And George Martin's like out.
Get the fuck out,
Norton. Get out.
No,
out. You know, so he
and he like sure had a real good time.
Yeah. But it's funny, the label didn't fire him. They just said, "I will do. We'll go do
some.
Okay,
we'll
yeah.
do another
we're
studio.
Good,
let's
good.
Find another place for
right,
you."
Right. So I mean, but they you know they were partying their balls off this band. I mean, fucking like, I mean, it's unbelievable. So Lemmy. So in 72, their current bass player and drummer, they split because they were serious. You know, Hawkwind just were fucked up.
They were just there for
right.
the party. I mean, it was
right.
as much about doing drugs as it was making music, right?
So in steps Lemmy Kilmister and so...
Who was on all of the speed
all right.
in Europe.
So Lemmy at the time, he says, a self-confessed hack at guitar. He was a guitar player then. Okay, admitting, he goes, I use sheer volume and, quote, stagecraft to mask my shortcomings.
Stagecraft.
But he went to audition for Hawkwind anyway, right?
Well, why
right?
not?
I mean, listen, let that be a lesson to all of us. He knew he sucked, but he just said fuck it and went in and got the gig and ended up rock and roll's most beloved character.
Who knows? Maybe Hawkwind is going to be so high that they don't recognize that I cannot play this instrument.
Right? Okay, so he
and
thinks,
it worked.
Right? So he thinks he's going in to replace the guitar player. One of the guitar players, this guy named Hugh Lloyd Langdon, right? Now, he knew Hugh Lloyd Langdon previously. They had gone to the Isle of Wight concert together at one of the big festivals out
probably
there.
Probably 1970 with Hendrix.
Ish, yeah, right? So Lemmy says of Hugh Lloyd Langdon, he goes, I knew the guitarist because he took 8 tabs of acid. We never saw him again for 5 years, right? Now, Hugh Lloyd Langdon was in Hawkwind.
As the guitarist.
At the time, he disappeared.
Oh.
Nobody, there's
no one knows where he went.
I researched, Ryan. There is no trace of
In
you,
search of, like, with 80 atoms.
So, he just, like, when he said, and we never saw him again for 5 years, I went, okay, I'll check that.
See, I'll find him for you, Lemmy.
They never saw him again for 5 years. So, that's his story. So Lemmy thinks, oh, I'm replacing a guitar player. He was fucked up, you know? Yeah. So, he finds out, no, that they're just going to go as one guitar instead of two. So Dave Brock just switches over and does all the leads. Dave Brock's founding member and rhythm guitar player, one of the lead vocalists up to that point. So they hand Lemmy a bass and, like, you're playing bass. He's like, oh, shit, I'm a bad enough guitar player. You know?
Well, we are taking 2 strings away from you, Lemmy, so that's good.
So he says of his debut with the band, I learned to play bass with Hawkwind. I got on stage with this bass round me neck. It was a Rickenbacker too. The old bass player, like an idiot, left his bass in the truck. So I'm learning. Nick Turner says, just make some noises in E. This one's called You Shouldn't Do That. And he walks away. And so they're on stage. Here's how this one. So I guess you're the bass player of Hawkwind now.
Wow.
Right?
That's a tight ship they run there.
Right. So, and Lemmy says of his own bass technique, I just don't play like a bass player. There are complaints about me from time to time. It's not like having a bass player. It's like having a deep guitarist.
Nice.
So, but now that's everything about them is so dysfunctional.
Oh, yeah.
But they're legendary. I mean,
I really like these guys, to be honest. I didn't think I would, but that album I bought when we were in London with Glenn and Gaynor.
All the Mountain Grill.
Yeah. I really liked that
album.
Oh,
that's a great, great record. That's one of their better ones.
And it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Right? So, and then there's that double live album where it's really spacey.
Yeah.
I think it's the one before the one I just mentioned.
Yeah, but, and that's the one where one of the cuts from this, they put that on there. What's track, side one, track one, right?
It is.
Silver Machine.
Oh, it doesn't say the tracks.
Oh, there, it's Silver. I think it's Silver Machine.
Silver Machine.
Yeah. That one, they took the live version of that. Yeah, and that's what came out before. And that's when Lemmy had first just started playing with them, because that was in 72. You know, their second record came out in 71. You know, then he joined them, did the, you know, to whatever you want to call it, a tour or whatever, and then went in 72 and did Fossil Lati, Do Re Mi or whatever.
Yeah, another good one.
Yeah. Do Re Mi, Fossil Latido.
Right, that's it, yes.
Do Re Mi, Fossil Latido, yeah. So that was his first record with them. So it's amazing. I mean, so how did Lemmy quit? Why was Lemmy leave the band? Well,
he got frustrated, right, with the music. No, he didn't like I remember him saying he didn't like the album after Hall of the Mountain.
Well, it was that, but he truly loved them. He got fired from Hawkwind, and he loved it. He still to this day loves them. In 1975.
Well, he's no longer with us.
Oh,
but,
shit, what did I just drop?
I don't know. Your bottle opener?
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's all. So they're doing a U.S. tour, and they go into cross the Canadian-U.S. border. He was arrested allegedly for cocaine. So they detained him for 5 days.
Oh.
And, it turned out it wasn't cocaine. But he had already been fired. They fired him for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't cocaine. It was methamphetamine. But yeah, that was amphetamine.
Sure, it was
but
something.
It's only crank.
But it was legal. So I guess it was in the form of a prescription, perhaps.
Okay. Who would prescribe that to Lemmy?
Well, here you go. You know,
Dr. Nick.
Open up for 9 days. Here, take these. You'll be up for 12. Right.
Yeah, perfect.
So he was released after 5 days. He spent 5 days in jail, but all the charges were dropped. But he had been fired. And years later, he said, I did like being in Oakland. And I believe I'd still be playing with them today if I hadn't been kicked out. It was full on stage. And not so much off stage.
Oh, really?
He felt like he never fit in. He just felt like they kind of always, he made him feel like he was on the outside. They had their core group and they never really let him in.
You see that a lot with bands that bring in new members. Yeah, that's pretty common.
So I think what I'm going to play, Ryan, is a song from their third album Sessions for the Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Ti Do album. But it didn't make the album. It was, however, released as a B-side of a single in 1973. Another song that is also on that record that you have, the compilation that never made it onto an album. It's a song, Ryan, about frying your brain out with too many drugs.
What? Yay! What would they know about
really?
That?
Yay! And you can really hear Lemmy's vocal style starting to emerge on this because he's singing like the higher harmonies on this one. And you can, it's like, that's so fucking Lemmy. It's not raw as Motorhead was, but you can hear that that same kind of inflection and shit going on way up top there. So it's really, really badass. Ryan, it's going to be a song called Brain Box Pollution, which is going to be side two, track four, Ryan.
This is Brain Box Pollution.
Right. Now, this is written by Robert Calvert. They're old lead singer who only had one song ever released on any Hawkwind albums.
Oh, that he wrote.
That he sang.
Oh. He just sang the one song?
He was their lead singer.
He was the lead singer.
David Brock did it. Right. And it was, I think it was a single. I don't think it even
oh
appeared.
Oh, my God. Right? What a mess.
Yeah, they had him on as a singer. Yeah. This was written by David Brock and Robert Calvert. So, yeah, crazy. Crazy shit right there. Brain Box Pollution. Do drugs, everyone.
Just like
fucking Hawkwind.
Yeah. I really like them for some reason, but boy, are they high.
That's why you like them, because they're so high and they're still making like cool fucking music, man.
That was, I'm not a weed type of guy.
That's not weed. They're on acid and methamphetamines. I don't like any of that either. And coke and and they drink. Oh, they like their booze.
Maybe that's what I'm picking up on.
But the thing is, there was a lot of bipolar. A couple of the guys in the band, including the singer, their old singer who just ended up with one song ever released. He had like bipolar real bad. A couple of the dudes had some bipolar issues. A
couple of them.
Yeah.
They have four poles.
So, and
out of two.
You know, and you know, when you're tripping on balls, you know, you're expanding your mind. Yeah, but what if your mind's fucked? You know, so the Hawkwinds. Hawkwinds.
I like
that. It's Hawkwind. That's a great compilation, man. You know,
it's very cool.
The UK, you've got access to some of their records. It's harder to find out here, but that's a compilation called Best of United Artist Years, 1971 through 74. It was a record store day thing, and I'm glad I found it.
I'm sorry, what was the parent album?
United Artists.
No, the album that is culled from.
Oh, ORG. Oh, the album.
The Domo La Soldati.
Oh, no. It came from this compilation came. Oh.
Where's the song from?
Oh, the song. It's not. It wasn't on any songs. It was a B-side.
Oh, okay.
It was a B-side to a single that they released same session.
Oh, okay.
So, yes. But remember now, what happened? Whatever happened to Hugh Lloyd Langdon, Ryan? Yeah.
Did you find him?
He returned.
What?
5 years later.
To join Hawkwind again.
Oh, wow.
In 1979.
Where the hell have you been?
Nobody knows. You can look it up.
He doesn't know.
Nobody. He's not telling.
That's awesome.
He was probably in hospital.
Hugh Lloyd Langdon.
Probably. Yeah. Well, he's back.
Yeah, he's dead.
All right. Let me put a little... let's get this thing back on track here, because we have played some very boozy and druggy stuff.
Haven't we?
This is one of my favorite bands from the late 80s and into the 90s. One of the few bands in hard rock that were doing interesting records and not necessarily, bound by the production of the time, like especially in the late 80s, you know. I feel like you told me one time that you don't like this band, but... I brought what I consider their Start Here record.
It's Kaja Goo Goo?
No, not Kaja Goo Goo. Too shy, shy.
Oh, I like that.
You like Kaja Goo Goo then. This is a band that was successful never, really. But
I like them already.
Yeah, so,
they probably do like them.
They were always just kind of bubbling right around. Their albums were like in the... It reached 106, 114.
Right. Yeah, you're on the charts.
But they were pretty influential. As a matter of fact, the bassist for Pearl Jam declared that this band invented grunge, which is odd.
Supergroup.
Yeah, not really a supergroup. But they did do some drop D tunings back in like 87, 88. But it's not like the stuff that, you know, Alice in Chains or something. That's not their bag. But this is an album from 1996, well into their career at this point, almost a decade. And this is my favorite album by this band. And they are...
Might as well be walking.
They are a band from, you can say they're from Texas, but there's some Missouri, Springfield, Missouri.
The double Z's.
And then the singer and bass player is from Joliet, Illinois.
That's jail.
So they're kind of from all over. This is King's X.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and
right.
Their 1996 album, Ear Candy. I love this album. It's the Start Here record for me.
They're kind of King's X to me. They're right in that Thin Lizzy area where I just go, I like some of their stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't like some of their stuff. They're similar to me. These guys are heavier, obviously, I think, than Thin Lizzy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it depends on the time, but yeah. So their 80s stuff, most people will cite a record called Gretchen Goes to Nebraska.
Right.
That's a pretty solid record, but...
that's a good record.
Yeah. Then they did an album called Faith, Hope, and Love, which is really not a good record at all. They were on Megaforce Records. They did three albums with Megaforce, and then they did finally get a big deal with Atlantic, and they had like a three-record deal with Atlantic. and the first record didn't do anything. And then the second record's called Dog Man on Atlantic. And that was a little bit more successful. And that's actually how I got into them, because my buddy Dan Stoner, who was in a band called Stoner McKay, he had heard Dog Man, the album, and he had it. And I was like, damn, what is this? This is great. It's King's X. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we loved that record back then. Listening to that record now, I don't like it because it sounds just dated to me. It's that real kind of grungy drop C tuning, a groove metal.
Yeah, so that's,
it's
yeah,
so boring.
Boo.
It's so boring.
Boo.
And these guys have great harmonies, and they have this really cool psychedelic element to them that was really not present on that Dog Man album. But I would encourage everybody to listen to this title track of Dog Man. It's freaking amazing.
I think I'm encouraged to just go back and re-up on King's X, period.
Yeah, this is a great record.
I think I'm going to go do that.
Didn't hear this record. It was their last one on Atlantic.
This feels like it's brand new.
I just ordered it, yeah. I don't think it was even pressed on vinyl in its day. It's 96, so it's a reissue.
All right.
And it's one of those deals where it's like a longer album, so they've put it across two different discs, right? So
they were at BLK last year.
King's X was, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I haven't listened to King's X in a decade or more, and I hadn't heard this record in 15 years or something, and I happened to catch them on like the Eddie Trunk podcast. I'm like, gosh, King's X. You know what album I liked was Ear Candy, and I popped it on Spotify, and I was like thinking I was going to hate it because it's 90s, you know, but I really loved it. I was like, this is a great record.
So are they the same dudes?
Oh, yeah. It's a trio.
Same guys
are still doing it.
That's
in
cool.
In 2019.
I gotta hand it to them for that.
Yeah. They've
tune your shit up, though, you guys. Come on.
They kind of do. That sort of grunginess is not nearly as present on this album. They kind of hearken it back more to their earlier Gretchen Goes to Nebraska stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play a song that exemplifies that. But before I get to that, let's talk a little bit about these dudes. They, as I mentioned, they're kind of from disparate locations. Doug Pinnick is the lead singer, bass player, amazing voice, African-American, grew up in Joliet, Illinois, and grew up in and around like the gospel church and all that stuff, and tore off into making music for a living, and he was all over the place. He was in several different bands. He's actually an old dude. He was probably in his mid-30s when they hit with in the 80s.
What?
Maybe even 30, 32.
Are you kidding?
He's an older guy. I didn't know that either.
I always thought he was a kid.
No, he's...
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's probably in his late 60s now or something like that.
Wow, you just didn't 65. Do that in that day and age. It was it was a young man's
game.
He
was a young-looking dude, though, even in his 30s.
He did have a freaking baby face. Yeah, I always thought he was a young cat.
I have a funny story when you're done.
Oh no, let's do it now. So we talked about Doug, but you give me your story and we'll talk about the other guys.
Well, he was, you guys know the stage at BLK and how you come off the stage and then there's that little step up.
Right, where the concrete,
dressing room area. So now there's a big white X there.
Huh. Oh no! Who fell, Doug?
Doug Panic stepped right off that thing.
He came walking off the stage and just went.
Pew. Oh, he's a tall dude too,
he's
isn't
tall.
He?
He is tall.
He's like a tall dude. I bet he was just long.
Like, it was just like two steps off the stairs, and then
so he bit it
like missed. You know, like when you go to step. And and just went. Choo.
Oh,
so
poor guy.
There's a big white X there now, and we put King's.
King's X.
Doug's
axe. Doug's axe right there. So
sorry, Doug.
Oh, it's all
yeah,
right,
he's
Doug.
Great, man. I love his voice, love his bass playing. I mean, all the guys are pretty talented. Ty Tabor is the guitarist. He was born in Mississippi. And I don't know how he wound up meeting those guys, because Doug wound up in Springfield, Missouri, of all places. And that's where, like, they were in a band, and he had met the drummer. What's the drummer's name? Sorry, I don't have it written down, and I'm blanking on it. Grab that for me. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, drummer.
Jerry Gaskill?
Yeah, Jerry Gaskill. Yeah. So
blind.
Somehow Doug and Jerry wound up in a band together, and Ty Tabor had a band. They were opening for him, and somehow they all wound up living in Springfield, Missouri, and making their demos there. And then they got hooked up with this manager who is based out of is he Houston? I believe it is. Sam Taylor's his name. And so he's the one that got him rolling. He was their manager for many, many years. And that's how they ended up getting started. So they signed to Megaforce, and they do like the three albums there, and had a minor MTV hit with Over My Head. You may remember that one. I hear music over my head. That was your first, anybody's first exposure to King's X has probably seen that video on Headbangers Ball.
Yeah.
You know, and that album is a good album. That's Gretchen Goes to Nebraska, their second. And, but man, that follow up was really bad. Yeah, the Faith, Hope, and Love is not, it has a couple good tracks, but.
Well, that hit didn't knock me out. I mean, it was a good song, but it didn't totally knock me out.
Yeah, there's some good stuff.
Maybe I heard some of the later stuff. I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, I heard everybody raving about that. And I've actually sat down and listened to Gretchen, Goes to Nebraska. I've listened to that. I remember listening to that. It was, you know, my cocaine days. So I might not have appreciated it as much as I could have, perhaps.
Summerland is a great track on that album.
I'm gonna go back. I'll revisit that.
I'd listen to that album again, but I think you're really gonna like this album, Ear Candy.
Okay.
Here's the thing about, I didn't even know this about King's X until I did my research for the show. They have been mislabeled throughout nearly their entire career until 1998. Mislabeled as a Christian rock band.
Wait,
what?
Did you hear that either?
I never heard of that.
I never heard of that either until I read it. So
I get it, though.
So what happens is, like, the bands, I believe one of the bands that, like, Doug and Jerry were in, it was a Christian band.
Oh, praise Jesus.
Amen, brother. And they ended up, I think the guy that produced that band, or maybe it's even in an early King's X incarnation, was a dude from the Christian rock band Petra. Do you remember Petra?
Yeah,
they were like a huge Christian band in the 80s.
Wow, okay.
I had heard of that name. And then, so there's that. So, like, they kind of said, well, they are a Christian band, right? Because they're...
And they got the X. It's always crossed.
Right,
King's
yeah.
Cross. Uh-huh.
And then there was, like, a Bible verse that was in the middle of Faith, Hope, and Love CD insert.
Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape.
So that makes Metallica a Christian band.
Well, of course. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, well, is Metallica a Christian band? Is is then Marvin Gaye's What's Going On album a Christian album? Do they sell that? At the church?
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a weird, you know, as you listen to some of the tracks, and I went back and I listened to a lot of the catalog in preparation, and I'm like, yeah, I could see that could be construed, but it's very ambiguous. You know, it's not like Jesus saves us, Jesus does.
It's not like Striper.
You know, it's not Striper, right? It's nowhere near that. But I think a lot of it too is like Doug Pinnick, you know, growing up in a gospel church, he's got that sort of gospel tinge to his voice too. And he does sing about spirituality and things like that. And a lot of this, of course, it comes down to their manager, Sam Taylor, who manufactured a lot of this too in an effort to appeal to a crossover audience.
Oh, crossover. See?
In interviews, Doug Pinnick says that he's agnostic, and the drummer, Jerry, said he isn't even Christian at all. And that the guitarist, Ty, says, well, I'm a Christian, but Christian music and the industry is vile. I was like, okay, that is doesn't sound like a Christian band.
Yeah, they could cloak it, you know, lyrically, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So this album reaches number 106, which Atlantic's like, okay, fuck you guys, you know.
Yeah.
But number 4 on the contemporary Christian charts. And they're like, can we stop this? This is insanity.
Oh, Jesus's money is green, too.
So it does finally stop when Doug Pinnick comes out of the closet and confirms his homosexuality. And he was doing an interview for some magazine and brought that to light. And the people that distributed the King's X albums into Christian bookstores canceled that distribution.
They have a burning party.
Yeah,
they
apparently.
Bring all your King's X records and we'll burn them in a church parking lot. Have a barbecue.
Good job, Christians.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Don't be judgmental or nothing.
We're having a potluck on Wednesday. Bring your goddamn King's X records with you.
Preacher, should you have said goddamn in the middle of
it? No, I mean goddamn, because God has damned those records.
Damn, what's going to happen to Doug Pinnick when
he's
going to
die and he's going to burn in hell, he is.
For how long?
Well, forever and forever and ever.
Well, here's the collection plate. It's Slim Pickens this week, Pastor. So, anyway, that's the story of King's X. We're going to hear a song called Picture. I really thought this was a good example of this album's high points. It's psychedelic, and the lyric here is not a Christian song. It is a very personal song written by Doug, because I should mention that Ty Tabor sings as well a couple tracks, and they all write all the songs, but this is a Doug Pinnick one. And he sings about, in the first verse, he sings about his mother. The second verse, he sings about his father. And then the third verse, he talks about he never really knew, I believe he didn't know his father hardly at all. And so the very end of the song, the last verse, is really touching. He says, we all got together, and all of us, and I got a picture of it, and now it's my favorite picture.
Oh, wow.
And then what's really cool musically at the end, like, he gives that sort of, like, you know, twisting of the ending and the lyric, and then it just sort of drifts away. And it's like you can almost see him just staring at that picture in his hallway and just looking at it as this sort of psychedelic backwards-y guitar stuff swirls around your head. It's just a really neat song. And his voice is so great, and he's so impassioned, like really singing it. Great harmonies. It's got everything that a good King's X song has, you know? So let's check it out. It's somewhere on the second disc. I think it's Pictures towards the end of the album, so... It's like side four or something.
Awesome.
Or side three.
All
so,
right, let's
Ear
do it.
Candy from May of 1996 on Atlantic. This is Picture by King's X.
Be damned.
Burn in hell for eternity.
Her grandparents raised her in northern Illinois.
What'd you think? That's King's X.
You know, really cool, really spacey, kind of jammy, but very ethereal. It had a, you know, it, mm-hmm. it took you somewhere. Lyrics were great.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Minimalist.
Good word. Yeah, you
but
know?
It really paints a vivid picture. You know exactly what's going on, and yeah, it's really cool.
I'm really digging that. You know, yeah, I think I gotta give them another shot, you know?
Yeah. You'll like this. You're borrowing this, and you're going to like
right,
this record.
All right, yeah.
Damn it.
I will. I'm going to listen to it with totally open ears, brand new ears.
Liz, do you remember the band Sheriff? They had a hit in the 80s.
It was called I Shot The.
When I'm With You was a ballad, and it had this really super high note at the end. Does anybody remember Sheriff?
Uh-uh.
When I'm With You. It goes. It was like a song that was like recorded in the... mid-80s, and then it was a hit in like 1990.
Why don't you sing a few bars for us?
No, I don't know. The guy that wrote that song and was in the band Sheriff, Arnold Lanny, he produced this album.
Oh,
I'm like, Sheriff.
I should know, I guess.
Sheriff. Brendan O'Brien did the last one, and let's go to the dude from Sheriff for the next one.
That's amazing.
Sheriff.
Wow.
Maybe the bagpiper from Piper. Could do the next record for you.
There's not a bagpiper in the band Piper.
Or whatever.
What is wrong with him, Liz?
He's got that new thinking weed.
Maybe we can get the flugelhorn player from the Hooters to come in and do the next one.
Well, that is going to do it for us here at the old Shabby Road Record Show. We've debuted our new turntable. That yes. was pretty fun.
How's your hangover, Liz?
Cured? Yeah.
No, I'm ready to go.
Give her a shot. We just hair of the dog. Yeah,
poor girl. We just decided to bag it a little early for poor Liz over there.
I do not drink that often.
You're hanging on for dear life over there. Yeah. Give our girl a break.
That's right.
Right.
Thank you,
we
Liz.
We love you so much.
It's bike week here.
It is. You're going to be thrown down.
I am not going to stop until next Tuesday.
Well, that way there's just
that
one
is
hangover
a declaration.
Right? Yeah,
Jesus, I'm just, telling you.
If you're going in, go in.
Yeah,
hokey pokey.
I'm hanging. I'll
put your whole self in.
I'm hanging,
including your liver,
better than some of the people half my age.
Yes, right?
Yeah,
right.
There you go.
Yeah, you're a pro.
I am. Well, I rocked that shit.
Thank
drunk
you.
Last night, went to work this morning, 3 hours sleep.
Nice. Oh, that's Jesus. The notorious LDB, who was very notorious last night at the Vince Neil concert.
Rare form.
And hey, let's give a little hearty handshake to Sal 5000, who's sitting over there.
What are you looking at?
Jesus.
Jesus. Wow.
Wow. That sounds like one of your exes, AD.
Oh, it sounds like all of them.
Oh my god! Oh, just so you all know, after tonight, everything's back on when it comes to skips with the brand new record player.
Oh yeah,
because we're still balancing the needle out on that.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised though, we didn't have any issues tonight, but I'm sure they're coming.
I was gonna let everything slide tonight, but hey,
were there any?
Done.
I didn't hear
no,
any.
No, nope. There wasn't.
Nope,
maybe we'll never have a skip again, Liz.
I doubt that.
No, I got some pretty crappy records.
I'm looking forward to a whole bunch.
That are beat to shit. I'm surprised that Faces one made it through, but I knew it didn't skip.
Well,
it's scratchy as hell.
There's an adjustable arm weight on that. We'll just, you know.
Crank
it's
it
like,
down?
Yeah, a stack of quarters. It was put that thing all the way in.
And then it'll be actually playing the other side backwards.
Yeah.
It's like you've got it drilled down so far.
It's like an anvil on the end of an arm with a needle dragging around your record.
You might need to go get a new bottle of dirty tequila.
No, they don't make it anymore. I'm sure it's been taken off the market.
They must have stopped. They had it. If there is a
somebody
God,
sanctions.
If there is a Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Pray with us that they have stopped making that evil juice. The devil's juice.
Where would he go that if you drink the dirty tequila, where
you
do you
go?
You
will go straight to hell, and you will drink your dirty tequila in hell with the devil.
It's purgatory.
With the ragged clothing. Gnashing of teeth.
Spinning Leuven Brothers records.
Oh, the Leuven Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, those Leuven.
That mean son of a bitch. Right. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here at the Shab. If you enjoyed the music tonight, we encourage you to drop by our website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com, and click on that Amazon banner.
Click.
This King's Record. King's X record is available there now, and it was like $29. A little pricey, but totally worth it. Gretchen Goes to Nebraska is going to be my next purchase, and I'm clicking through our site first so we all get a kickback.
Yeah. Get right? some Hawkwind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude. I wonder if those Hawkwinds have been actually reissued and they're not too...
Probably.
Yeah. I want to get that double spacey live one because it's just...
They're just so fucked up.
It's so Hawkwindy.
Yeah, that came out after, that came out in 73, so right
yeah,
after.
Lemmy's on it, right?
Yeah, that was Lemmy's.
Yeah, that's my next acquisition. Yeah, and also if you've been enjoying the show all these 5 years, celebrating 5 years, leave us an iTunes review and tell us what you think about us, but please don't do it unless it's going to be 5 stars.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
come
be
on.
Nice.
Just be nice. Yeah. Be nice out there. All right, well, I've placed my... Nerdy King's X dudes back into my mystery box next to the drunken band The Faces, and already they're squabbling. Oh, Ronnie Wood just stole Ty Tabor's glasses and he won't give them back. Ronnie Lane just dumped a beer on Doug Pinnock's head and called him a poof. And the drummer Jerry is crying, saying something. What's he saying? Oh, geez. His wife is banging Rod Stewart right now. I'm going to have to clean this mess up. Before I go, I'll say, can I borrow your garden hose, A.D. Adams?
That is so wrong. But sure, absolutely. Well, we are completely out of vinyl for tonight, but don't you fret, you nun, because we'll be back next week for another shabby session filled with vinyl, booze, information, booze, conversation, booze, misinformation, booze, and maybe some acid.
And booze.
No,
and
booze. God, what are we, Hawkwind?
But before we go, we want you to know how much we appreciate you all for listening and for spreading the gospel of the Shabby Road. Enjoy the show in hell, won't you? Anyway, we truly couldn't do it without you joining us each week, so thank you. And as always, I'd like to send a hearty well done, sir, to my pal and co-host and the world's least famous codpiece model, Ryan McKay. Oh. I wish you, sir, a warm good night and a rivederci with a bag full of stolen cash.
Wow.
Good night, everybody.
All right. I can't be more famous than Blackie Lawless. Codpiece, it shoots sparks.
Hey guys, a portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is brought to you by alltheworldsastage.net. For all your bands and company merchandise needs, click on alltheworldsastage.net and never pay screen charges for orders of more than 24 items. There are no PMS or flash charges either. Mention Shabby Road Record Show and you'll receive 10% off on your order. alltheworldsastage.net.